by golly, they picked the gold right off in the bedrock. And the men in town here saw the gold. And so this geologist, when he came back, he told me all about it, you know. And I said, would you mark that spot on the map for me? Yes, he said, I'll mark it. So he left and he went back to the East Coast. And I've traced him up this winter, in the early part of the winter, and I got a hold of him. And I asked him for this map. And he sent it to me, and I just got the map a few days ago. And there's a little, it says where we landed, and made a point. And I have been right there many's and many's a time, right to the spot. Yeah. I never prospected there at all. I went beyond, about 15, 18 miles beyond, is where I found this here creek with pay on it. And here, I walked right over this spot. Yeah, I have it. That's it. So,
did you ever meet John Murdy? Did you ever meet John Murdy?
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 No, I heard of him. I heard of him, yes. Another question? What kind of sniping? How about the bar sniping on the birch?
Well, there's lots of money on the birch, but it's awful hard to save.
Mm-hmm.
It's flour gold and real fine. It's awful hard to save, but there's lots of money there. Yeah. In the early days, Charlie Rogers and a man by the name of Gus Winneman, they used to go over there in July, and they'd rock out 50, 60 ounces and then come back. So well, you can do that, well, there's a little money there. 50, 60 ounces.
Are most of the creeks still staked, or are they...
No, no.
Not very many places staked
anymore. Not very
many.
Mm-hmm. Not so very many.
Is there a renewed interest in prospecting and gold mining as a result of the rumors that there's a possibility of gold being, the value of gold being increased?
Well, the big trouble is wages are so high that the person can earn a lot of money, you know, working for wages.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't the prospectors anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I look for a lot of men to go out in the Brooks Range after they open that up.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I look for a lot of men to go out there. After this pipeline is all over with and kind of cooled down, I think there'll be a lot of men going to Brooks Range, and they're going to find gold, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right there's a man back there who would spend the winter in the Brooks Range. Michael Lester.
Oh, Mr. Lester, I see.
What do you think of the pipeline? What do you think of the pipeline?
I think it'll go through, and I think it'll go through to Valdez, too.
I think so.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I do.
But you don't feel it'll do the damage if they think it will. It won't do the damage if they...
Oh, no.
Think so.
They're going to have everything up to snuff. That's the cinch. They'll build boats that'll be almost foolproof. That's the way I think of them.
Okay.
Of course, these here little small boats, 150 ton or something like that, why... They're not fixed up for it. But I think they'll build boats that'll have air chambers in them, and in case something will happen, well, they'll still float. Mm-hmm. I think so.
I wondered if Mr. Cardston had any desire to spend some of his money in travel. Or to
no desire.
Some of it.
No desire.
Oh. You just want to stay where you are.
I was going out the year my mother died, and I don't want to go out and look at her grave.
Well, I just wondered if you were going to retire at all, or if you're just going to keep mining until...
I'll keep it going until I drop.
You meet your maker.
Because after if I ever quit, I'm going to drop.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm thinking back, and I owe you an apology. Because I did go to work in this laundry in 1923, but there was Mrs. Arola, I think back now. My mind's not busy.
Yeah.
Aurora, she was
yeah,
in Milwaukee.
I remember
and,
her.
And a large Finnish woman. And
yeah.
Then when I went back, I laid off, and then I went back a couple years later. And that's when Mrs. Your sister had the head ironboard there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
She came in to see her one time. I remember
yeah.
when I was there. That's why I put it in my head.
Mrs. O'Gara, Mrs. O'Gara, she and Jack O'Gara ran the American Hand Laundry.
That's why I worked for 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him.
Because you ran there one time.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy, do you have any more questions? Did you know a Charles Hodges or a
yeah.
Mort?
Hodges.
Yeah.
I know Charles Hodges, yeah.
Charles?
Yes.
How about two axe handle Hodges?
No, don't know him. You're too big for me.
Yeah. What was the first name? Charles. You knew a Charles Hodges then?
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
He does know Charles.
Yeah, I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His sister and her husband built the cabin that Don Herring has his fuel office in now. Up there on Christian Street, your sister and Mr.
Yeah.
They built that house up
I furnished the logs for it.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
It's covered the siding now. I lived on Deadwood Creek in 1936 and 1937, and I found an old diary that was written by Mr. Bloom, who lived down the creek there, and he mentioned Swiftwater Bill. Do you know who he was? Do you know who Mr. Bloom was?
Dr. Hansen says that she lived on Deadwood Creek in 1935, and that she found... Yeah, Fawn Hansen.
I knew him.
In 35,
yeah.
And that she found a diary that belonged to a Mr. Bloom, and the year was 1935,
mm-hmm.
And in the diary he refers to Swiftwater Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know Swiftwater Bill?
I didn't know Swiftwater Bill. He was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
I heard lots about him, but I knew Bloom.
Oh, you knew Bloom?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Pete Bloom. I knew Pete Bloom. He committed suicide. He got in an overflow, and he put a snare around his neck and fastened it to the back of the sled, and he told the dogs to mush, and George Blondo found him frozen in this overflow.
The dogs too?
Yeah, he put a snare around his neck.
Well, we lived in his cabin on Deadwood,
mm-hmm.
And we were there in the summer. 36 and 37.
You were there when Joe Fawn Hansen was there, huh?
That's
are you Mrs. Fawn Hansen?
Yes.
Is that right? You surely remember me.
I don't think I saw very much of you, but I heard a great deal about you.
Oh, I used to talk to you a lot. I never. I never knew you was Mrs. Fawn Hansen. Yeah. Yeah.
You have a better memory than I have.
Yeah, I remember your husband so well. Oh, yeah. He was a wonderful man. You bet he was. He helped me out lots of times, too.
I was always interested in the history of that area before.
That's right.
Struck.
Yeah, Circle Camp was long, long, long before Fairbanks.
And Mr. Ellington was one of the early settlers.
Circle Camp was before Dawson was struck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the 80s is when they first found it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very
interesting
to me. Yeah. We don't have enough history of those days before. Around Circle and 40 Mile and that. I wish somebody would dig up some history around up there. Because 40 Mile and around that way was long before Dawson and... And they came down from 40 Mile, Gilmore and that bunch came down from 40 Mile and discovered Fairbanks.
That's
know,
right.
That
Antone Standard is the first man to find gold on Bonanza Creek in Dawson. And he was sinking this hole and there were six men with him. And they were out of grub, but Antone Standard stayed with it. He was picked down through the muck, and
when he hit gravel, why, his first pan was 15 cents, and the next pan was 20 cents, and the next pan, I don't know what it was, but it was much better. But anyway, they all staked, and then they had to go to the 40 mile to record this ground. And Anton Stannard didn't have a dime. And he told his story to a lot of men around there. And Clarence Berry was a bartender in the 40 Mile Roadhouse. And he listened to this story over and over and over and over. And he finally decided that the man was telling him the truth. So he says, Anton, he says, I believe you're telling me the truth. He says, you know what I'm going to do to you? He said, no. He says, I'm going to grub stake you to next winter's food and hire two men to go with you. And I'll witness the cleanup and for 50-50. So Anton Stannard agreed. And they went there that winter, and they used wood fires and took out a dump. And the next spring, when it come time to sluice, why, Clarence Berry went there. And his share alone was $250,000, believe it or not. I have it on black and white over at Central. His share alone was $250,000, with wood fires, mind you.
What year was that then?
That was 98. 97 or 98. I know it was when Dawson first was struck. Mm-hmm. And Clarence Berry, I've known several men that hit him up for the price of a meal. He never gave them under a $20 bill. Never. He just felt so lucky, you know. And out here at Esther, he owned a lot of that ground there, and it was good money there. And wherever he owned ground, he owned money.
Is he the man that owns the estate that owns where the Miller House, property around the Miller House?
Yeah, he was the man that owned that.
I see. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He was worth $22 million when he died. Yes, sir?
The Esther Post Office, you know, is named after the Berry. Mm-hmm. It's the Berry Post Office. It's not Esther, it's the Berry Post Office, and it's named after the Berry. It's Berry Post Office out there.
That's
named
right.
After the Berry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After the Berry. Mm-hmm. They had a house on 9th there across from the old school. Across the main school now,
mm-hmm.
the Carstens. Harry Carstens and his wife lived there for a good 9 years in the old Berry home.
Yes,
uh-huh.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
How about something
on
Pete the Pig?
How about Pete the Pig?
Pete the Pig.
Yeah, you haven't told us about that yet.
Pete the Pig was, he had some ground at the head of the Sulture, the farthest man up on the Sulture. And when the time that I walked across from Woodchopper, I stumbled onto Pete the Pig's cabin. And it was over at the head of the Yukon Fork of the South Fork of the Birch. He had a winter cabin there. Mm-hmm. I suppose some of you folks have heard of Mount Catherine. Mm-hmm. Dean Patty's wife. This mountain was named after Dean Patty's wife. Well, that's Mount Catherine. And it wasn't far from Mount Catherine where I stumbled onto this cabin. And I found some signs of Pete the Pig. But he was dead then.
Did the Sulture River go up in that way?
Does the Sulture River go in that way?
No. The Sulture River heads like this, and the Yukon Fork heads like that against Mount Catherine. And the Woodchopper mm-hmm. heads up by like that. And then Sterling, here's the head of the Sulture, and Sterling Creek runs like that and into Charlie River. Mm-hmm. And Coal Creek heads much past the Woodchopper Creek.
Mm-hmm. Why did they call this fellow Pete the Pig?
Well, whenever he got drunk, he grunted like a pig.
Oh.
You read Wickersham's book?
I've read it, yes.
He mentions about Pete the Pig.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, do you have any stories to finish up with?
Well, I got lots of them, but I just can't. I'm kind of rattled, you know.
Don't be rattled. You've related your story very well. You've had an interesting one. You've contributed much to the history of Alaska, and you've made a very nice presentation.
Thank you. Thank you.
And possibly you can refresh your memory a little bit, and we can have you again, and you can relate some of the experiences that you haven't had an opportunity of relating this evening.
Mm-hmm. Michael Lester has 3/4 of my life in Alaska on tape.
He does?
Yes.
Well, Michael Lester.
Now that man sat way back.
Yes, I identify the man.
Uh-huh.
You're the one that should have been in doing the interviewing. Well, it is being recorded, and it's been nice to have you this evening.
It was something I...
Well, we don't want to miss anything.
No, it was something I wanted to tell you, and I slipped my mind now.
No.
What I'm going to do, I'm not much of a singer, but I'm going to sing you a little song that I heard a long time ago. And maybe Mrs. Von Hansen heard it too. Did you ever hear the song, Oh, Don't You Believe It? No. When I was a kid about 20, I thought that I knew everything, till I met a guy on the corner that sold me a beautiful ring. He whispered, young man, it's a bargain, this gold is the finest you've seen. And I thought it must be from Ireland, because it turned my finger green. Oh, don't you believe it. I don't give a darn what they say. This old world is chock full of liars, and a new one is born every day. My old man said I was a dumbbell, so I left the house in a huff. He said, if you never come back here, I'm sure that will be soon enough. So I stayed for a week with the neighbors. I thought he would quickly repent. And then when I wrote him a letter, this is the message he sent. Oh, don't you believe it. And this comes from all of the folks. If you think we're pining to see you, think of some more funny jokes. They said there was gold in Alaska, so I made the dash right away. Now there may be gold in those gosh darn hills, but as far as I care it can stay. I bought me a pick and a shovel, I dug night and day without rest, and all that I got for my troubles was a darn good cold in the chest. Oh, don't you believe it. I thought I was smart as a fox, but I dug a hole clear to China and never found nothing but rocks.
Did you make that up?
No, I didn't make that one up. Yeah.
Question? How about Macintosh's dog?
Oh. No. No.
That's a restricted song, I think.
Yeah, it isn't too bad. It isn't too bad, but it's got a nice bunch of audience here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll sing another one, though.
Oh, let's have it.
Let's see. How does that go? I used to own 500 poodle dogs. They had all their tails curled up. 500 servant girls used to mash behind my doors. 5,000 head of cattle used to roam about my farm. And the bummers used to roam about my doors. They would get outside my whiskey, and they'd smoke up my cigars. And my servant girls would mash behind the doors. Oh, the roof was copper bottom, and the chimney solid gold. I had an elevator placed on every stair. I had male and female roosters, and they drink the whiskey warm. They were Shanghai and Shanghai China breed. Now my cornfields yield the butter, and my peach tree yield the cream. And sometimes we mowed and sold the yellow pear. But at last my wealth has changed about, and I am poor myself. At the free lunch, I take me quite a chair. I am drinking of the Schweizer cheese that once I used to eat in my double-breasted mansion on the square.
Yeah. Well, honey, you've presented a very nice presentation.
Well,
and,
I'm glad I did, and if I could just get my wits together, I could tell you an awful, awful lot, all right. Yes,
and,
on the last
and we, well, I'm sure there'll be no problem getting them together, honey. And no. We'd like to have you again.
Yes. And I'd like to come up and pay you folks all a visit when my wife is all right.
All right.
I'd like to have my wife along.
And
I'm sorry she isn't here tonight.
And we're sorry that she's not, too. And we wish that she will be, hope she's out of the hospital soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
And back to normal
health. Okay. I'm going to take a look at your rocker.
Oh, you most certainly may, and thank you.